Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to catch up with Father Jordan Sampson, who is now the Associate Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Learn a little bit about his vocation story and some of the work that he and Father Haggerty are doing in the Vocations Office. So please stick around for that portion of our program. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Kelly Bartman with the first and second reading and Deacon John Devlin with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all wild animals, but none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, he, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples began questioning Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, St. Rose of Lima Parish in Gerritsen recently celebrated a harvest mass at the farm of Arden and Mary Ellen Sorensen. The high school religion classes attended and helped out with the ministry. Father Jeff Norfolk, the pastor of St. Rose of Lima, was the celebrant. Mass was followed by a meal and social time by the parishioners and those in attendance. You can read and see more about this specific harvest mass in the October edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops requested that U.S. dioceses take up an emergency collection to help those devastated by Hurricane Florence and any other natural disasters that might occur the rest of the year. "We offer our prayers to families who have lost loved ones or are among those injured, As is often the case, the poor are the hardest hit by these conditions, but many will have immense unmet needs, Cardinal Daniel N. DiNardo of Galveston, Houston said in a recent letter to the nation's bishops. He urged bishops to make this special appeal and that we each take up the collection as soon as possible so that those most in need can receive assistance quickly. The cardinal said the staff at the USCCB Office for National Collections in Washington has been in touch with several bishops to learn about their situations and to offer our prayers and our desire to be of assistance in this time of need. Information about the Office of National Collections and its support of emergency relief efforts can be found at https://bit.ly/1dv1RGH. Funds will be used for the humanitarian long-term recovery and church needs arising from these storms, Cardinal DiNardo said. California Governor Jerry Brown said this week he would not sign a measure passed by the state Senate that would have required student health centers at public universities to offer abortion-inducing drugs. By not signing the bill known as SB 320 in California, he essentially vetoed it. Access to reproductive health services, including abortion, is a long-protected right in California, he said in a letter to members of the state Senate. According to a study sponsored by supporters of this legislation, the average distance to abortion providers in campus communities varies from 5 to 7 miles, not an unreasonable distance. Because the services required by this bill are widely available off campus, this bill is not necessary, added Brown, a Catholic who supports keeping abortion legal. Under the measure, every student health center at the University of California and California State University campuses would have had to offer abortion-inducing drugs, including the abortion pill, as RU486 is known, by January 1st of 2022. Gloria Tristani, who served for 4 years on the Federal Communications Commission, spent part of her day recently protesting outside FCC headquarters in Washington as the current commissioners were meeting. She was there to demonstrate against potential drastic cuts to the FCC's Lifeline program, which was put in place 12 years before Tristani began her tenure at the FCC. Lifeline provides discounted telephone and, in the wake of Hurricane Katrina in 2005, internet service to qualifying low-income households throughout the United States. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined via telephone, Father Jordan Sampson, who is the director of the Newman Center at Northern State University in Aberdeen, and also is the associate vocations director for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. That's a new role and really kind of the purpose of our conversation this morning. Father, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Jerry. Great to be here.
So this new role for you as the associate director of vocations, did that kind of come at you by surprise, or is this something maybe you've thought about doing for a long time?
No, Bishop asked me in May if I would come on and help Father Hagerty as the vocations. He's the vocations director, and to be an associate, it was a surprise to me. Yeah, definitely a surprise, but I'm grateful to do it. I told the guys at the seminarians it was an easy yes, just because I enjoy being with them. I enjoy the priesthood, and I love our diocese. So I feel like it's a great role to take on. Yeah.
Seems like those three things make for a pretty solid vocations director.
Yeah, it's not that attractive if you're not loving what you're doing yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if people haven't had a chance yet to look at their Bishop's Bulletin for October, but in the October Bishop's Bulletin, you wrote a piece about taking on this role and shared a bit about your own vocations journey, which I think is always an important it's an important story to tell when you are trying to assure others that you know the Lord is speaking to them in some way. Maybe you could share a little bit about that.
Yeah, that article, again, I get this role, and I get interviewed, and I get directed for the Bishop's Bulletin.
It's a whole new experience.
All these things added on, yeah.
It's great, though.
You got to share your story. I think, especially in light of the current church culture, church situation, we all know what's kind of going on there, and I just shared my own entry into seminary in 2002, which was in the midst of the Boston scandals being kind of broken wide open. And that the Lord speaks, you know, even in the midst of our culture, in the midst of today's world, the Lord is still speaking. He's still calling men to be faithful, holy priests. And despite what the culture might be, what might be happening in the culture, you know, the Lord is still there. He's still working, and he's still doing a lot of good things.
And in fact, it might even heighten that. You might actually hear the Lord's voice a little clearer, because
I think so.
There's so much clutter out there, right?
Right. Yeah. People are yearning for something more. They're yearning for something, a mission to be on, and the Lord's voice. I think the contrast there is so much more steep that you can actually maybe even be more attentive to what he's saying. Yeah.
I appreciated your pointing out about your own call, that, you know, maybe those around you as you were growing up in Eden, South Dakota, may never have known that this was in your heart, that you were thinking about this. Was it something that you kind of held close to yourself for a long time?
Oh yeah. You know, it's a small town. It was pretty private. I think we live a very private faith, and yet, you know, Christ doesn't really allow us to live a private faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an American thing, it seems, or a kind of a modern skewing of it, that it has to be lived outwardly. And in that small town, I think it was great. It was very friendly to the faith. I mean, people went to church, and it was definitely very highly regarded, your Christian faith, whether it was Lutheran or Catholic. Those are pretty much the two. But it was, to get, you know, quote unquote crazy about your faith, you know, to get kind of into it and to actually go and be a priest or be a seminarian, that was a bit foreign to maybe that community, or maybe in my own life. Like, I had never met a seminarian until I went and visited the seminary in my senior year. So, it was a big step, but I'm a priest now, and I'm really glad, really glad.
Yeah.
The Lord has called me to that.
I guess I wanted to highlight that, because I suspect you're not alone. And for young men, or for parents who, you know, maybe see some quality in their own son, or for others who see qualities in other people around them, it's okay to talk about that. Even if it is a private, kind of quiet thing, if here's a great example then you gave, is Father Friedrich, who was your pastor at the time, unbeknownst, right. You know, he didn't know you were thinking about this, and he raised the issue.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. Father Jim Friedrich, he's one that is not afraid to ask, and he's put that ask out to other young men as well, and he's always on those seminary visits.
Yeah.
And so the role of the pastor, I think, is invaluable to helping me and Father Hagerty in the recruitment process.
Right.
You know, they know their men, they know their parish, and to get them to be asking that question, and a lot of them do, a lot of them are really good at that, to be attentive to, you know, what's happening in the parish, in the family life, and who would be a good candidate to invite to at least consider the priesthood. We need that help in recruiting vocations, definitely.
And really, it's all of us, isn't it? I mean, I think going back to that, you know, that again, raise the issue with your son or with someone that you know. Sometimes just that little nudge is all somebody needs.
Right. Even to think about it. Right. I remember being in high school, and it was Bishop Carlson sending out a message to, I'm sure he said it to all the priests of the diocese, but Father Jim reading this message from the bishop that said, I know there are vocations in your parish, in Eden.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing that. I was like, oh,
really?
Well, maybe me. Maybe that's me.
Yeah. Good for you that you didn't look around and say, well, I wonder who he's talking about.
Right.
You actually looked in, which is great. And it really, I guess really for all of us, isn't it? That's what we have to do. Whatever our vocation is, whatever the Lord might be calling us to, we have to be open to that.
Definitely. Yeah, and good holy marriages, good family life. That's also just a huge part of fostering healthy vocations for the diocese.
And I suspect you'd say that pointing to your own family as well. I know your mom and dad are deeply involved, great people, and your whole family has been pretty active in the faith through the years.
Yeah, they're okay.
They're good. They're listening, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, my parents, they just had their 40th wedding anniversary last weekend.
That's awesome.
And, we celebrated that, and all my brothers are married now, have little kids of their own, and that family life and the focus on the faith as something that brought them freedom. The faith was something they lived, and it wasn't imposed as a rule, though there were rules. It was something that very evident in my parents' life. I feel that they brought them happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so why wouldn't I want that as a part of my life too?
Yeah, absolutely. So, in your work now with vocations, how does that work together with your work at the Newman Center as the director of the Newman Center? Do you see some other opportunities to work there too?
Yeah, hopefully they coincide well. I wasn't looking for more work when Bishop came to visit me in May. but yeah, definitely seeing the lives of the students here, the men and women. You know, as vocations director, we're having some nuns, some sisters from Nebraska come and visit us in a couple weeks here to this is a transitional time in people's lives, and to help them, lead them, guide them to what their calling is in life, definitely. And we got a couple of events coming up here that I'm definitely going to reach out to some of our college students and invite them to. Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that. It's a good segue. Thank you. You're good at this.
yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the events that the Vocations Office does, because there's a lot of ways that people can get that taste that you talked about, the opportunity to maybe meet a seminarian for the first time in their life. I know you have seminary visits coming up.
We do. Yeah, we're going to be heading over to Winona, Minnesota, November 10th to the 12th. That's a weekend visit. We send guys to Immaculate Heart of Mary in Winona. And then right after that, Thursday to Saturday, November 15th to 17th, we're going to be going to St. John Vianney Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. So we have about six guys in St. Paul. We have about four guys in Winona.
And again, currently. Those are college seminaries, right?
Yeah, those are college seminaries. If there's an older guy, we would maybe double up, go to St. Paul and visit the St. Paul Seminary as well. But
mm-hmm. So
these two are specifically for college kids, or college aged. Yep.
So kind of where a person is at in their own life might dictate which seminary or where they would end up going, depending on what their experience, their level of education, all that stuff. That all factors in, right?
It does, definitely. If you're 16 and older, you're a high school student, or you're a current college student, you'd probably look at some of the college seminaries, the ones I just mentioned. If you have a degree already and are in the working world, you'd probably visit independently to one of the major seminaries, St. Paul, or we're sending to Kennerick in St. Louis right now.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
And I... knowing this from my own experience a long, long time ago, because I was a post-college young man who decided to check out the seminary. There's different levels. I mean, you don't have to have everything in place to get started, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's some pre-theology, and there's different programs that the seminaries have that can help while you are in that discernment process.
Right. Right.
You don't have to know it all is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No, you don't even have to know it all to be a priest sometimes.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely, you go there to discern. And I think maybe that's one reason I felt at peace joining right out of high school was, I wasn't signing up for the priesthood. You know, I wasn't signing my life away in that moment. But I knew I had 8 years to discern. And if you have a degree, you still have 6 years of school before you're even looking at ordination, 5 years before diaconate. So it's a process, yeah. And I think a healthy seminary is one where a lot of men enter and a lot of men leave.
Mm-hmm.
Statistics show that if you look at the college freshmen joining seminary, 30% are going to get ordained. And that's a healthy number. So it's good. We should have a lot of guys joining, getting good formation, good discernment, and then leaving with God peace, a lot of good discernment to go out and find your vocation and married life or otherwise. Yep.
I think because of the kind of the norm, if you will, for us I'll just say as Americans or as citizens of the United States, we really focus on the academics. You know, we're going to college to get a degree. And you certainly do that. The academics are very important when you're in the seminary, but it's only a piece, isn't it? It's that other piece that really, at least from my experience, again, I'll just say, really helped me to complete my discernment process.
Right. Yeah. It's not just about the academics. It's human formation. Are you able to just be a good human and to live your humanity in its fullness? And that's why it does take so long. I mean, your last 4 years of seminary, major seminary, you get a master's degree. I think most master's degrees are 2 years.
Right.
We take 4 years because it's not just academics. You're doing pastoral things. You're doing human things. You're doing growing in the spiritual life. So we definitely take our time to try and form the whole person to be a good priest.
And then, as you said, for the guys that end up, you know, hearing the Lord lead them elsewhere, nothing lost, because you come home and or you go to wherever, you know, wherever your life takes you, you're just that much more of a man of faith, I think.
Oh, totally, totally. And I think our diocese sees that it is an investment in the man. It's an investment for our diocese. And, you know, we're going to help you out discern. And, you know, I know many good men who are former seminarians who now help in the parishes here in the Diocese of Sioux Falls or, live a good, faithful married lives, and that's definitely in our best interest as a diocese.
Yeah, absolutely. So so we talked about the seminary visits. I want to talk also a little bit about the Operation Andrew dinners. That's another way for somebody who, you know, doesn't really, maybe they don't even know that they're interested. Maybe they're
right.
Maybe they just want a free meal and then something's going to happen. Talk a little bit about the Operation Andrew dinners.
Yeah, it's kind of a soft sell. You just invite someone over to have dinner. And those are at the universities primarily. So we're having ours here at Northern October 16th. We're going to have Mass at 5:30. We're going to have pizza at 6. And I'm going to give a vocation story, my own. And then, you know, I also have a focused missionary on campus here who was in seminary in Winona for 4 years and left seminary, is a focus missionary, is married, has 2 kids. So I'm going to invite him to speak about his experience. Really going back to what we just said, that there's nothing lost when you go to seminary.
Right.
You're going to get some good formation. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So that opportunity again coming up. And then, so the other two Newman centers, both at USD and SDSU, they'll be doing something similar?
They will. Yep. Same thing. USD has theirs on October 23rd. That's a Tuesday, and SDSU in Brookings has theirs October 30th. It's also a Tuesday.
And if somebody would be listening...
I think Bishop's going to be at one of those. Yeah, Bishop's going to be at SDSU, it looks like.
That's great. Yeah, he has a fascinating vocation story. If you've never heard him tell his vocation story, it's one of the best ones I've ever heard, I think.
Right,
Because he went from... He went from 0 to 60 pretty fast in terms of in terms of his
crazy.
a lot of great aspects to his story. Anything that we're talking about this morning with the vocations in terms of dates, in terms of these coming events, I know that information can be found on the website.
Right. www.sfvocations.com. All that information should be on there. Even ability to sign up is on there sometimes too.
And if you're listening this morning, or again, if you're interested yourself, or if you know somebody who, you know, you think maybe should be interested, point them to that website, help them to find it, because it could be the beginning of something beautiful.
Definitely. We work on referrals a lot. Yeah. People are out there, they're meeting people that may be good and interested in these things. And it's impossible for me and Father Hagerty to go out there and do all the invites ourselves. But yeah, if anyone can help us out, point them to these events, point them to that website, that'd be very, very helpful.
And you mentioned your brother priests in the parishes all over the diocese. I know that they kind of try to keep their eyes open as best they can, don't they?
I hope so. Yeah, I think they do. And, you know, we have vocations coming from all over the diocese up here in the northern part, and that wouldn't happen if some of these priests weren't looking and praying and seeing what's happening in the lives of their parish.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, a lot of beautiful things, a lot of beautiful stories that have happened through the years with vocation stories, some that end up being ordained, some that don't, some that go to a religious community and end up staying, some that don't. All of that is good stuff for the church.
Definitely. Yeah. Good discernment is something we should rejoice in.
And again, as you pointed out, as we began today, maybe especially in the times that we're in right now, it's really, really important.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's difficult. It's been a rough couple months, as we all know. And yet, I visited with the seminarians, and they all are in very good spirits. And it can't negate what's happening in someone's heart. It can't negate what the Lord is doing in our church and in the lives of these men.
Yeah, and I guess that's the bottom line, isn't it? We remember it's the Lord's church, and we do our best to follow the call.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, great to have this conversation, Father Jordan Sampson, who is now the Associate Vocations Director for the Diocese of Sioux Falls and also continues his work at the Newman Center in Aberdeen and also pastor of Westport. I got to get that in there. Otherwise,
right, Westport.
The Westport folks might be disappointed if we don't get that in there. So, Father, any last words?
I'm grateful for this life. I'm grateful for our diocese. Father Hagerty has done a great job, and I'm looking forward to working with him and promoting vocations in the diocese.
Excellent. Again, if you need any of the information we talked about, give that website one more time.
It is sfvocations.com.
All right. Look it up. And Father Jordan, thanks so much.
Great. Thanks, Jerry.
Gene, this is Respect Life Month. Lots of events going on this very day.
Today, there was a Respect Life Mass this morning at the Cathedral of St. Joseph and also the Life Chain later on today. Both great opportunities for people in the Sioux Falls area to participate and to show their support for life.
Well, and all through the month of October, of course, there's going to be opportunities to do that. We hope people take advantage of that to encourage the culture of life. That's what we're trying to do.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you, Gene, for that. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us today. Please join us again next week.